Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Prometheus has been.
These are ancient civilizations that were separated by centuries, and yet,
this same pictogram was discovered in every one of them.
They're smiling.
I think they want us to come and find them.
We're all here because of a map you two kids found in a cave.
Not a map. An invitation.
From whom?
Please tell me you can read that.
Prometheus, are you seeing this?
Well, that's the trailer from the movie Prometheus. Not only did it have a little place there as the prelude to The Alien, the famous 1980s and 70s Alien series of science fiction films, but it kind of stands on its own, an interesting take on man, his hubris, and his origins, oddly enough. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon. It's the 18th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Robert Velarde about the worldview, the cosmology of the movie Prometheus, and an apologetic response to kind of a theory that even some atheists hold to about the origins of life in the universe and on our planet, called panspermia. See how to respond to that here in the first half hour or so. A little bit later in the program, Pastor Gavin Mites will join us. We're going to talk about cyclist Lance Armstrong's cheating confessions on Oprah's Next Chapter. They were confessions. Oprah, I think she expressed a little disappointment afterwards. I don't think she got any tears out of Armstrong. Maybe that's what she wanted by way of a sincere confession to Oprah. What does it mean in our society that we go to Oprah to confess our public sins? Dr. Jeff Gibbs will join us after that. That'll run on into hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday, a conversation on the confession of Peter that's remembered on this day, Matthew chapter 16, if you're getting your Bibles ready for that conversation with Dr. Jeff Gibbs. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That means we play four soundbites for you. You listen, and then you and your votes entirely determine which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE, your chance to win the LPR bundle package as well. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesET, or vote in advance for Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Robert Velarde is a Christian apologist, author of the book The Wisdom of Pixar, and he's written an article in the latest Christian research journal titled Prometheus, Finding God in Outer Space. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Always great to be on.
Can you explain to us kind of the worldview or the cosmology that is behind the story of that film, Prometheus?
Sure, and that's a great question to begin with, particularly since we need to keep in mind that every form of media we encounter, whether it's in print, on television, in film, even artistic works such as paintings and whatnot, even music, we could say, there is typically some sort of underlying worldview or possibly multiple worldviews within or behind those ideas. So no sort of pop culture artifact exists in a vacuum. So in that respect, we want to keep an eye out on what is the worldview, how does something like a movie depict reality and explain reality. And in the case of Prometheus, really, you have sort of a mixture of worldviews. You have, I think, one of them would be deism, this idea that God sort of wound up the universe like a clock and then has just left it to run on its own. And some of the implications of that dealt with in Prometheus could lead to different options, could lead to naturalism, that, God doesn't really exist at all, we're just here on our own. And some of the consequences of that could lead to an offshoot of that worldview, could be something like nihilism, that there's no meaning to reality. So it's really a mixture of things. Where are we left as human beings if the God of Christianity is no longer seen as a viable option.
Okay, so the notion there in the movie, which you kind of it's kind of gradually revealed in the course of the story, is that there's some sort of master small m race, progenitor race for humankind, and not only humankind, but I guess life all over the universe, and we go in search of it. Talk about this theory of panspermia. I understand that it's even one that's been entertained by famous atheists like Richard Dawkins, who says, yeah, I could probably buy into a notion of aliens seeding the universe with light.
Well, it's actually an idea that goes back many years. One of the most popular ways it came out was in the late 60s. This fellow named Eric von Daniken wrote a book called Chariots of the Gods, and followed up with sequels, a book called Gods from Outer Space, things like this. And at the time, it was seen more as on the fringes, sort of the rise of post-hippie America, pre-New Age movement kind of thinking. And, the idea was basically the same, though, that somehow, the origin of life here on Earth is best explained by appealing to the fact that it was, seeded or started or begun by some sort of intelligent alien life form. In other words, we jettison the Genesis 1-1 explanation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the alternative explanations range from the, pretty outlandish, such as Eric von Daniken stuff, to respected scientists and thinkers who are starting to develop this sort of idea. One of those fellows is Francis Crick, who's known for co-discovery of the structure of DNA, who holds to what's called directed panspermia. So the basic idea is that since we really don't have a good explanation for life on Earth and how it began, well, let's say that it was started from extraterrestrial source, some foreign alien intelligence.
Does that solve the problem?
Well, it really doesn't. If you stop for a moment and think about it, which fortunately one of the characters in Prometheus even does this, the question then becomes, well, who created them? We have this ongoing problem then of how did life begin at all anywhere in the universe, and the directed panspermia solution does not solve it at all. In fact, it's really just sort of a wild ad hoc theory that scientifically has been cobbled together to try to explain what science has not been able to explain, that is how the complexity of human life could arise on its own by chance and through time without any intelligent concept or mind behind it.
Okay, so in other words, it just kind of pushes off the question as to the origins of life. It says, well, since we'll never answer that question, we'll just answer the question about the origins of life here instead.
Yeah, essentially that's what it does. It makes up a theory that could possibly explain life on Earth, but without any real evidence to it. So there's no empirical support or evidence for directed panspermia other than the fact that those who are opposed to intelligent design or some sort of theistic explanation don't like that idea. They don't like the idea of having to say, well, God must have done it. This is something that comes up in atheist circles as well in relation to other ideas where they might say, well, we don't really have a good explanation for how the universe came about on its own spontaneously from nothing. So let's posit other wild ideas. So you have things like multiverse theory, that there's an infinite number of universes, and suddenly we happen to be the lucky one where human beings who can think and reason arose. But of course, there's no real evidence for something like that. It's an explanation that really kind of grasps at straws because a lot of people don't want to face the reality that Christianity and theism offer the best explanation for human and origins as well as the origins of the universe.
So all these variations on a theme, multi-universe, which is another variation, obviously, of this, it kind of has to happen this way because we don't know how it did. That these are admissions, then, that when it comes to the complexity of life as we know it today, we do not, even among the best of scientists, have a real solid explanation for how it started.
Exactly. There's it comes to the point where you're sort of painted in a corner And, well, what do you do? You know, you either want to hold on to a naturalistic view of reality that tries to explain everything, you know, in the box, so to speak, without appealing to the existence of God. And if you get to that point, well, where do you turn? You know, what explanations do you have? Well, some people will acknowledge that, this is, you know, one piece of evidence that points to the existence of an intelligent creator God. And they will acknowledge that and follow down that path. You know, even the late atheist Anthony Flew ended up as a deist, but he still acknowledged that the best explanation for the design and fine-tuning we see in the universe must be some sort of deity. Now, others are not so, inclined. They will oppose that position and hence offer theories such as panspermia or multiverse or all kinds of things in order to sort of find a loophole and get out of that option that will point to God.
With about 30 seconds here before our break, get started on what one of your observations, that in the Prometheus story there in the film, this progenitor race is not benign. It is hostile to its creation, so to speak, to mankind. What are your thoughts there?
Well, we're a long way from E.T. the extraterrestrial, that's for sure, you know, where we have this really funny little alien who's very kind and gentle and helpful, as opposed to the malevolent sort of aliens that you come across in Prometheus, which, of course, is part of the mythos, I guess you would say, of the alien movies in Ridley Scott's series. You know, you never find these cuddly aliens. They're always some sort of horrific disaster waiting to occur. And that is where we find the scientists in Prometheus. They have great hopes of answering life's great questions, and not long after, they're running in terror.
We'll take a break. Robert Velarde is our guest. He's a Christian apologist, author of the book The Wisdom of Pixar, and he's written an article in the latest Christian research journal titled Prometheus, Finding God in Outer Space. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. It's January the 18th. We're talking with Robert Velarde, an apologetic response to the science fiction movie Prometheus. A little bit later, we'll talk about cyclist Lance Armstrong's cheating confession on Oprah's Next Chapter. It's an interesting conversation
on both sides of the conversation to observe there. Dr. Jeff Gibbs will be your guest after that. And then in the last half hour, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Robert, pick up where you left off. This notion that, and I guess it takes it a step farther than deism, but you said deism before, is this notion that there's a God out there, but he's pretty much, in your words, abandoned his creation or left it to run on its own. What does it say to you that in these kind of modern fables that we're spinning, the God that was perhaps in generations before of deism indifferent to us is now hostile to us?
Well, obviously it makes for, I think, a more interesting film. So we do have to keep in mind that storytelling aspect. It sets up, obviously, some real tension going on there between the scientists and Prometheus and these, sort of progenitor gods or, sub-deities of some kind. You have that aspect of the tension going on there. But I think in philosophically here, what we're dealing with is maybe more of a, not necessarily an allegory, but almost a metaphor of the situation that modern humanity finds itself in if we jettison God, which is, where are we left? We are left with some sort of darkness or despair, what the existentialists struggle with, the point of, is there any point to anything if God doesn't exist? And you also have this, this sort of sense of, God doesn't exist, but we hate him, sort of a tension. I think inherently human beings have a sense of knowledge that God exists. Whether you turn to, Calvin's sensus divinitatis, that we have a sense of the divine, or you turn to, more natural theology type arguments, or even Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. So if you have that inherent human sense that God exists, yet everything in the modern naturalistic world says that there is no God, what do you do with that? You are left, I think, with a sense of abandonment, a sense of tension, a sense of conflict, if there is a God, where is he? Of course, the Christian answer is that God does exist, and he has indeed, reached out to us to help us.
You speak a lot in your analysis of Prometheus as a story of kind of its epistemological implications, that is, how we know and how we believe. How would you summarize those things?
Well, that's a great question, and we certainly typically don't want to turn to Hollywood movies for where we get the meat of our philosophical ideas, because a lot of times they're just a mess. And that happens to be the case in Prometheus, where we get this underlying idea that how we know things, which is what epistemology has to do with, how we know things is really a matter of what we choose to believe. Now, that is just nonsense. We can choose to believe all kinds of things, and that doesn't make them true. They might be true sometimes, but in a lot of cases, choosing to believe something is just going to be false. It's going to end us in error and all kinds of problems. And, we don't have that sort of blind faith or leap of faith as Christians. So something like Prometheus presents us with a good opportunity to share how we can appeal to reason, moral conscience, evidence, other things like that. We have a wonderful account of that in Luke 7, where, the disciples of John come to Jesus. John's wondering what's going on. And they said, John says, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Jesus didn't say, just believe, or just tell John to choose to believe. Jesus appealed to evidence. He said, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. Blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. This is a direct appeal to actual evidence for belief, what we would call justified true belief, not just a leap of faith or choosing to believe.
Finally, then, with about 30 seconds here, could the Christian revelation as to the true God and who he is, not just our origins, but who this God is in his relationship to us in Christ Jesus, could it be any more different than the myth of Prometheus?
Well, definitely. And, I think Prometheus, in some sense, gets a bad rap. He's the name of a atheist publishing house and whatnot. But if you look at it in some ways, Prometheus is very much sacrificed himself and suffers for humanity. So there's a different way to look at the Prometheus story. But, you know, in this respect of the film and what is typically out there, you know, obviously Christianity tells a very different story, a story that is rooted in historical fact that Christ has come and is risen.
Robert Velarde is a Christian apologist. He's author of the book, The Wisdom of Pixar. He's also written an article in the latest Christian research journal titled Prometheus, Finding God in Outer Space. Robert, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.